But now it's time to silence your cell phones as we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. Let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
So I just have to say, was that choir amazing or what? I got to tell the pre-service meeting this morning. I want you to understand, I didn't say this in first service, but what you were seeing here was an answer to prayers in 6 years of a dream that finally has come to pass. 6 years ago, Kevin and Carla, Peggy and myself, on a snowy, so you'll remember that, 6 years ago, a snowy December the 8th morning, we were in downtown Covington eating at a restaurant, and it was snowing outside, and we were talking about them coming on to be the worship leaders at New Beginnings. And Kevin shared with me, he goes, man, my heart's desire is to one day have a choir. It just happened. So this is an answer to prayer and 6 years of hard work. And we appreciate what Pastor Kevin and Carl have done. And just the phenomenal. How was that also just to hear them singing? We walked in this morning when they were rehearsing. And just standing in the back, Peggy and I started tearing up. Just the room was empty, just them singing. It was just an amazing experience. And you feel like you're in heaven, right? Like, we're just in heaven worshiping Jesus. Well, we're glad you're here. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We're going to jump right in today because I don't want to go over time because we have another service coming behind you. So if you would, hold up your Bibles and let's make our proclamation in prayer today over the Word. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. This morning, I want to do something a little different. Typically on Easter Sunday, I'll start a new message series that'll carry from Easter beyond. But this is a standalone message from an experience that happened while Peggy and I were in Israel. And I want to share that experience with you because it's so fitting for today. I want to take you on a bit of a journey and bring you with me to the place where this all happened. The place is the empty tomb. Now, let me set up what was happening on that Easter, that first Easter Sunday or resurrection morning. Some ladies had prepared spices, and they went to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. And this was a very common practice in that time, and they would anoint the body. And then years later, as the body would decompose, someone would go in the tomb and collect the bones and put the bones into a box, and then they would slide the box to the side and then continue to add people, because typically a tomb was from a family, and whole families would be buried in these places. These ladies that had prepared the spices, though, had followed Jesus for 3 years, and they had witnessed the miracles, right? They had seen Jesus raise people from the dead himself. He had seen him walk on water, some of them. They watched him heal blind people and the lame and those who, like one guy couldn't walk for 38 years, and all of a sudden Jesus says, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the dude hadn't walked in 38 years. Imagine, his legs were kind of weak, but when Jesus tells you get up and walk, your stuff becomes strong, and he gets up and walks out of the place, right? So these ladies, they see this guy they had believed to be the Messiah. They had followed him for 3 years. They watched him do all the miracles. They were like, this is the guy. This is the one that the Bible has told us. This is the one the law has told us about. The prophets have spoken about all these years. And he's finally here. And we've seen the fulfillment of Scripture right in front of us. And then he's arrested on Thursday night. Unjustly. He's brought through a kangaroo court of sorts. He's convicted of a crime, sentenced to death, and then they witness him take an excruciatingly awful beating and just disfigurement on that day, and they put him on a criminal's cross to die amongst other criminals, the death penalty. The emotions running through their minds that weekend had to be crazy. Think about it. They were in mourning. They were in disbelief. They were had sorrow and confusion and surprise and fear that turned into excitement and anticipation. Imagine going through that range of emotions in 2 days. This is what happened in Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 24, go to verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen, just as he said," right? Just as he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Remember, Jesus for 3 years had prepared them for this day. He said, "Hey, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be unjustly accused. I'm going to be crucified on a cross, but I'm going to come back to life. The Son of Man," he said, "must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Look at verse 8. Then they remembered his words. When they were reminded of his words, then they remembered his words. You know, here's the thing. I want you to know, so there are some instances in our lives and in these ladies' lives, had they just remembered what Jesus said, they wouldn't have been so upset to begin with. Yeah, I know we watched him die. We watched him take his body off the cross. We watched him bring him to a grave. Yeah, he's dead. You know, wink, wink. He's dead. But don't worry, because he's going to raise himself in 3 days. We're just going to go wait in Jerusalem and hang out because he's coming back. No, they see it all. They witness it all. And in their humanness, they buy in to what they see. It's what our eyes do. Our eyes say, "This is what's happening." And we go, "I guess it must be true." You know, Jesus has the final say. You see, because he said so. And if he said so, then it is so. How often have you found yourselves in situations where maybe the situation caused some anxiety or some fear in your life? And we want to grasp these emotions that are happening in these ladies' lives that fateful weekend. And many of us, again, they followed him, they believed him, they saw all the signs and all the wonders, they knew who he was, and then all of a sudden, all these things happen. And it throws their entire belief system into a tizzy. You know what a tizzy is? That's like things out of whack, right? And that's what happens to us. We could be strong, strong followers of Jesus, and the minute something happens that throws us off kilter, that disrupts our peace, we can find ourselves in a tizzy. Amen. You've been in one of them, huh? They had to be saying words like, "What now? I thought this was the Messiah. What now?" Right? And at the arrival of the tomb, again, rocks their world. Now they go into a tomb to anoint a dead body, but the body's not there. And then they're met by these, and by this is a whole nother sermon, the angels, right? It says their clothes gleamed like lightning. You know how bright, you ever look at lightning? Kind of blinds you if you look at lightning. Their clothes, it says, were as bright as lightning. And they're in this little bitty room. They had to be like, "Man, could you turn the light down a little bit? It's like kind of bright in here." You know, anybody got the Maui Jims? Because it's. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Then they remembered his words, right? While Peggy and I were in Jerusalem, we got to go to the tomb. And I want you to know that tomb that day literally changed my life. Now, I've been a believer now for in the early 20-year plus mark, and when I walked into the tomb, my entire paradigm changed. This was the picture that we saw. Now, this is a terrible picture because it was taken on a cell phone, but I want you to just, hopefully you can see it good enough. That little raised area right there to the right of your photo would have been where the body of Jesus was laying. We walk into the room, and our tour guide says, "This right here, this is where the body of Jesus would have been laying." While I'm standing there, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He said it a little differently than he said to the ladies that day. He said, he's still not here. You know what? He's never going to be there because he was only meant to go there for a short time. Yeah, one and done. You see, because he said so. And because he said so, listen to me, we can believe so. And when we find ourselves in situations that are causing a disruption in our lives, things that are causing emotions that are outside of the emotions that Jesus gives us, like peace and patience and all those things, we have to continually tap into what did he say. And if I believe what he said, then I have to allow what he said to override the feelings that I'm having. Because he said so. Say it with me. Say, he said so. So here are some statements that I believe will help us as we go through life and as we just try to live life as Christian people. Anybody in here, just curious, because I know I do. Anybody in here just sometimes struggle day to day just living the Christian life? Yes. Now, matter of fact, you even probably look in the mirror yourself and you go, some Christian you are, right? I know you're going to be shocked at this, but I've even said that to myself. Some pastor you are, you know? To think you think thoughts like that, you act like that. I mean, you don't look like a pastor. I don't know what a pastor looks like, but evidently I don't, because I had a man in the gym one day tell me while I was shaving, he said, what do you do for a living, buddy? You're a tattoo artist? I'm a pastor. What kind of a church is that? I'm like, cool, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to give you three statements that Jesus spoke just before he died on the cross. Three, I believe, just radically important statements that you can take with you day after day after day. And regardless of where you are in your walk with God, whether you're walking with God for many, many years, or you're brand new, or maybe just getting introduced to the idea of a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know this will apply to all of us. He said so. The first thing he said, number one, it's on your handout. You are forgiven completely. Now, as Jesus hung on the cross, what he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? Now, I know when we read that statement, we assume contextually that Jesus is talking about the people that literally put him on the cross, right? The ones who nailed his hands, the ones who beat him, the ones who convicted him, the ones who put him there. But listen to me, you and I put Jesus on the cross. You're like, oh my God, did I do it? Our sin put Jesus on the cross. There was no other way, right? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was arrested, he prayed this prayer. Father, if there's some other way, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And so we have to realize it's our sin that put him there. So when Jesus said the words, Father, forgive them, he is saying to all of us who put him on the cross, you're completely forgiven. Now, and there may be some of you sitting out here today thinking, I don't need to be forgiven. I'm a good person. I live a good life. I pay my taxes. I don't lie, cheat, steal, or hang out with people who do. But the fact is, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all don't measure up to God's perfect standard. And in God's perfect standard is called perfection. And the only man on the earth that ever walked in perfection was Jesus. You and I can't live to that because we're not Jesus, right? But Jesus made a sacrifice for us so that we could have this relationship with the Father and be made perfect in his sight. And I want you to know, because of what Jesus did, when he said the words, Father, forgive them, we were forgiven completely of everything we've ever done. Whew, I thought that would get like a really, amen, like, hey, yeah, amen. Well, I'm glad. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I'm like, well, let me think about that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not really sure. Another good-looking crowd. you're forgiven completely. You know why? Because he said so. So from now on, when I say, you know why, you say, because he said so, all right? All right, we're going to play this game. All right, he said so. So the second thing that he said was, listen to me, we have an eternal promise. Hanging on the cross, Jesus looked at a man hanging next to him on another cross and said these words, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Now here Jesus is speaking to a criminal who was sentenced to death and dying on a cross next to him. Matter of fact, there were two of them. And from the Bible that we have to come to understand that there had to be payment for sin. Sin had to be paid for in order for you and I to be able to have a relationship with God, right? You see, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages or the payment of our sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So because of what Jesus did, we have been given the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. Listen, that thief on the cross that day was there for a good reason. He was there because he and his buddy had been involved in an insurrection, had actually murdered people, and yes, they were convicted and sentenced to death for a just cause. But Jesus is on the cross having not done anything, and yet he says to that man that day who cries out to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. So one is hurling insults. One is saying, hey, if you're really the Son of God, if you're really God, then get us all down from here. Get us off, you're so big and bad, get us off the cross. But it's in this moment, this revelatory moment, that this one criminal realizes, this is God. This is God in the flesh. And look what he says to him. He says to the other criminal, he rebukes him in verse 40, Luke 23, verse 40. He said, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, pointing to Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And Jesus says to, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Simple words. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You ever prayed a prayer like that? Or one like this? Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I realize my need for a Savior. I remember being at that place in my life when I had gone through life for 35 years. In 35 years of my life, I thought I had life figured out. I thought I had it all together. And from the outside, you'd probably think, dude got it all together. But on the inside, I was empty, completely loved and taken care of at home with a wife and kids and all those things. But I want you to know, there was an emptiness on the inside that I couldn't fill with the stuff that I was trying to fill it with. And I kept trying to fill it with things and excitement and other substances to try to fill a void, and nothing worked. Everything was temporary. And all of a sudden, I meet Jesus, and that whole idea changes. I realize I had found what I've been looking for. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what the criminal was saying that day. I recognize you, Jesus, and I recognize my need for you. We all have to get to that place in our lives where we recognize our need for a Savior. See, when you don't think you need a Savior, you don't need a Savior. And Jesus doesn't want you to just come to him because religion says you should. He wants you to come to him because something on the inside has said, I need this relationship. I need this forgiveness that he's offering. See, we have an eternal promise. Why? Weak. All right, we're going to try it again. We have an eternal promise. Why? Much better, much better. See, you played the game well, good. We, by the end of this thing, we're going to have it all figured out. And number three, he said so. All the requirements for your relationship with God have been met. All the requirements have been met. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus has a point where Jesus is thirsty, and they give him some wine vinegar to drink. And it says, After he tasted it, he said these words, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. I believe the three greatest words ever spoken by Jesus while he walked on the earth. Amen. Three simple words. It is finished. Tetelestai in the Greek language. And it just simply means it's over. All the requirements have been met. Everything is taken care of. And all we have to do is simply receive what he gave. Now, I want you to know, we all think that there has to be more to this than that. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What I love about that is he didn't say, hey, this is what you do. Go clean up your act first. Go get right. Go get right with Jesus. Go get right with you. Clean up some of your mess. And then come. And then once you're pretty good, that'll be good enough. No. Jesus said, while we were still sinners, while we were in the midst of the worst, Jesus became the best for us. Yes. I've heard so many people through the years say, in a relationship with Jesus just seems too easy. You ever heard that excuse? Yes. It just seems, it can't be that easy. You mean all I have to do is pray a prayer? Yeah, that's all I got to do. Well, not quite, but yes. And I think the Apostle Paul explains it the best in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Look what he said. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Notice it doesn't say anyone who does some religious activities will be saved. Anyone who goes to church 52 Sundays a year and sometimes twice, maybe even on Wednesday night every now and again, will be saved. Anyone who prays three times a day, anybody who reads the entire Bible four times in a year will be saved. No, it just says anyone who does what? Believe. Believing in Jesus is the gateway to a life with Christ both here on earth and the life to come. Amen. See, Jesus didn't just save us so that we could have, yes, the promise of eternal life. Great, that's wonderful, but what about today? It's so that we can have the abundant life of Christ today, right now, on the earth. God doesn't want you living separate from him, and then at death's door you go, oh, by the way, can you save me today? Man, what if you don't get that chance? What if some people die accidentally, and all of a sudden, oh, shoot, forgot to say that prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace. What is grace? The Greek word charis, and it just means gift. For it is by a gift that you've been saved through faith. What is faith? Believing, right? And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So in a relationship with God, if a relationship with God provided by Jesus was about what you do or don't do, then you would spend your entire existence on the earth striving and working to get right with Jesus. And I want you to know, not enough striving and not enough working and not enough good deeds will ever make you right with God. The only thing that makes you right with God is his Son, Jesus Christ, and you accepting the free gift that he offers called grace. Amen? When you accept the all-sufficient sacrifice, you are saved. Do you know why? Put the tune back up there for me, could you? He said so. So imagine this. Imagine if those ladies that they said, we probably should prepare spices because we saw he's dead. But you know what? He said that he's going to rise on the third day. So I'm just going to wait here in Jerusalem, have a little iced tea, sit here and be looking out the window, because he's sure to come up at any moment now, right? That's faith. Because he said so. And so as people of faith, what we have to do is begin to exercise the faith that God has given us. And so instead of worrying, instead of having anxiety or fear when things start to happen, we just simply go to the Word and we remember that Jesus said so, and because he said so, it is. Amen? He said so. You're completely forgiven. Remember that. The next time the enemy says, oh, some kind of Christian you are. Look at you did. Look at all the stuff you... Listen, I'm telling you, there are many days that your pastor... Well, I will... Nobody will tell me this. I tell it to myself. When I'll say things and stuff will come out my mouth, I'm like, dang, you don't sound very holy. You know why? Because I'm very human. And any pastor that stands up here and tells you something else is, you know... have an eternal promise. The eternity is promised. Now live like you know it. And all the requirements, all the payments have been made so you could have this relationship. And live in it every single day. Amen? Now, I know that there are people in the room, maybe some watching us online today. Some of you maybe you go to church 2 times a year. We're not making fun when we say this. I call you CEOs. Now, CEO doesn't mean you're the boss. That means you are a boss. It means that we call you Christmas and Easter only. CEO. No offense. I'm just saying it's what people do, right? But listen, we're just glad you came. Christmas and Easter only, come. Glad you're here. Yeah. But also realize that sometimes people come to church because somebody asked them to. We come because maybe somebody twisted that arm. Will you come to church with me? All right, I guess I'll come because you've been bugging me about it. And all of a sudden you're confronted with a message like this and you maybe don't even know what to do with it. So today, I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe if you've never trusted Jesus before ever, and you say, well, you know, Pastor Eddie, some of the things that you've talked about today are things that I need in my own life. I want to offer you the ability to give your life to Christ today. But maybe some of you are also in here. Maybe you've walked with God for a long time, and maybe through the years, you're like a radio wave on an antenna. This is Jesus. You're with Jesus, not with Jesus. You're all over the place, right? And I want to just say, hey, maybe today's the day we renew that relationship and say, God, things are going to be different from this point forward. I realize what you've given me in Christ, and we're going to do it different. Amen? So if I could have you all just bow your heads right where you are. Nobody moving. Everybody's head bowed, eyes closed. I don't want this moment to pass us by, and let the Holy Spirit continue to do what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives at this moment. And he's drawing you. He's drawing you close. Now today, if you're one of those people, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you'd like to do that, could I just see your hand? And if today's the day that you maybe need to renew that relationship with God through his Son, Jesus, could I see your hands? You guys just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe in you. I place my trust in you and the work you performed on the cross. I receive the forgiveness of my sin. Please lead me for the rest of my life as my Lord and Savior. Said, if you prayed that prayer, we believe that you are born again. The Bible says, unless a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Now, at New Beginnings, we don't just say, oh, we're so glad you're born again. Have a nice life. See you later. No, we want to put a resource in your hand this morning to help you in your walk with God. It's called Fresh Start with God. And at the guest services counter on your way out, we have copies for you. Take as many as you want. You can only read one at a time, I'm just saying. But take them, if you have a friend maybe that needs one, take one for them. And I promise you, this book will help you kind of get on track in your walk with God. And if you have, I told somebody at first service leaving, if you have any questions, you get on our website and email me personally. I will email you back any questions you have. Amen? Would you stand with me? This is how we're going to end our service today, by taking communion together. Now, if you came in and did not receive a communion packet, would you raise your hands? And our ushers will make sure that you get one. We have some right up in here. Once, if you would open the cellophane on top and remove the wafer and hold it up, please, so I can see that everybody has the wafer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, says this: whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now, I want you to remember, when we proclaim the death of Jesus, simultaneously, we can't help but proclaim the life of Jesus, because where? He's not in the grave, right? He has risen just as he said. And so he's no longer in the grave. He rose from the grave, and this bread, this broken body piece of bread, is a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Isaiah wrote this about the body of Christ. He said, surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes, or by his wounds, we are healed. Now I want you to grab how big that is. Jesus paid the price so that you and I could be healed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It says he carried our sorrows. That's the emotional part. He took up our infirmities. That's the physical part. And the spiritual part is he bore our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement, or the punishment, that brought us peace with God was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. You're healed in all three areas. Today, as we receive the broken body of Jesus, my prayer for you is that his complete healing be upon you in every area, or in whichever area that you need it today, in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In verse 25, it says, nor did Jesus enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The blood of Jesus makes us clean forever. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The word redemption is the Greek word apolytrosis, and it means the complete payment for our sin. The ransom has been paid in full. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price in full with your blood. We receive this juice today as a reminder of that commitment from you and our cleansing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you would hold your hands just like this, I want to pray a blessing over you today as you prepare to go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his face toward you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We'll see you next week.